Lord God, this morning, may your word captivate us, encourage us, and inspire us. Amen. So I'd like to start with a question. When was the last time you took a risk, either in word or in action? Just hold that question. This week, we continue a sermon series on unlikely heroes of the Old Testament. And 2 weeks ago, Ian spoke to us about Moses. And today we encounter a different character, Rahab. We will hear this morning how God worked through her. And we will consider how her story speaks to us today. I'm going to be taking you a bit further through Joshua chapter 2 and into the second part of the story in chapter 6. Now, the account of Rahab is set in around 1400 BC. Israel's great leader and liberator Moses is dead. And a new leader, Joshua, has been appointed by God and given a promise in verse 6. Be strong and courageous because you will lead these people to inherit the land which I swore to their ancestors to give them. Energized by God's words, Joshua assembles the officials east of the Jordan River and tells them that after 40 years wandering in the wilderness, the time has come. They are to prepare the people to cross into the promised land. And Jericho, a heavily fortified and strategically important city, would be the first step in the conquest of the land of Canaan. And you can just see Jericho is where the number one is on the map. And you can see the Israelites were in the plains of Moab, ready to cross over. So as we heard in our reading, Joshua first sent two spies into Jericho. They sought shelter in the house of Rahab, a prostitute. It was a strange choice of hotel, but they perhaps thought that strange men would be under less scrutiny there. However, as we heard, they were immediately sighted and pursued by the king of Jericho's men, and a message was sent to Rahab. Bring out the men who came to you and entered your house. In verses 4 to 7, we read that rather than doing what she was told, Rahab at some point, and I often wonder exactly at what point, decided to embark on a very risky course of action, hiding the spies under flax stalks on the roof, and then lying to the king's men and sending them on a wild goose chase outside the city. The story continues in verse 8 as Rahab climbs up to the roof and reveals her motives. She tells the spies how she knew that the Lord had miraculously delivered the Israelites from Egypt and given them recent victories over Amorite kings. In verse 11, she explains this. When we heard of it, our hearts melted in fear, and everyone's courage failed because of you. For the Lord your God is God, in heaven above and on the earth below. Rahab recognizes God's supernatural power, and she wants to know him. She wisely then asks the spies for protection for herself and her family if she keeps their secret. And the spies swear an oath in verse 14, our lives for your lives. They stipulate that when the city is invaded, she's to bring her family into her house and hang a scarlet cord from the window. There are echoes here, aren't there, of the red lamb's blood with which the Israelites daubed their doors to be spared the final awful plague, the death of the firstborn son, which was visited upon the Egyptians. Part two of the story is in chapter 6. With God's help, the Israelites cross the Jordan and they enter the city, and it is totally destroyed. People find this passage a challenging one. But God had patiently given Canaan hundreds of years to repent from the terrible evil that infected the whole area. And in Jericho's fall, God mercifully warns us of a greater judgment at the end of time, when Jesus will return. And in the words of the Creed, which we say most Sundays, he will judge the living and the dead. Like the Canaanites, we all deserve condemnation. But we remember that in mercy, God welcomes all who take shelter in his Son through the cross. So Rahab is spared to become integrated in Israelite society. And more than that, she will give birth to a son called Boaz, who becomes the husband of Ruth, the Moabite, another unlikely biblical heroine, with a whole book in the Old Testament named after her. And their great-grandson is none other than King David. We follow the genealogy in the first chapter of Matthew's Gospel, then down to Jesus himself. Rahab, from outcast to ancestor of Christ. Quite a journey. Quite a woman. And this is not the only time when God chooses the unlikely, the outcast, the marginalized. An encouragement there to any here who might think they have nothing to offer, or that they're not good enough. They're not a good enough Christian. None of us are good enough. Rahab reminds me a little bit of a battery, a double A Duracell battery. AA. She acknowledged and she acted. She acknowledged who God is. Remember what she said, the Lord your God is God in heaven above and on the earth below. You know, we have far more to look back on in Scripture than a Canaanite woman in 1400 BC. We have so many more accounts of miracles, messianic prophecies which have been fulfilled, stunning biographies of the actual life, death, and resurrection of Jesus, accounts of the amazing work of the Holy Spirit in the early church, countless testimonies up to the present day of so many people whose lives have been radically transformed by Jesus. So I'm challenged by Rahab to acknowledge afresh what God has done for me and to wonder at it. And she acted. Her trembling act of faith, and be under no illusions that she wasn't scared, she must have been terrified, opened the door of life to her entire family and led her to play a key role in Israel's history. It's for her actions that she's remembered twice in the New Testament. In Hebrews chapter 11, she's listed along with other heroes of faith. By faith, the prostitute Rahab, because she welcomed the spies, was not killed with those who were disobedient. And similarly in James chapter 2, verses 24 to 25, In the same way, was not even Rahab the prostitute considered righteous for what she did when she gave lodging to the spies? At the start of this talk, I asked you to think about the last time when you had taken a risk. Because you know that when God calls people in the Bible, it's almost always to a place of high risk, but also to a place of great joy and blessing. Remember our last hero, Moses, called at the age of 80 to leave life as a shepherd, to go and confront Pharaoh, the most powerful man in the world at the time, and lead the Israelites to freedom. High risk. And in our era, there are millions of men and women facing high levels of persecution, risking their reputations, their professions, their freedom, and even their lives for Christ. High risk. So where does God want us to take more risks? In standing for Jesus and for truth, for his truth, in a postmodern world. Maybe by refusing to go along with the crowd. Maybe by taking an opportunity to speak up or share our faith or values when it might cost us approval. Maybe by speaking hard truth to someone who needs to hear it. So as we go out into the world this week, may we be inspired by this great biblical narrative to engage afresh with God's wonderful story and be willing to take more risks in acting and living for him. May we all discover something of our inner Rahab. Amen.